This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, as you know, I've been preaching a sermon series on the Gospel of Luke for over a year now. But it's worth it. It helps us to see in detail the real essential message of the book of Luke. In fact, one thing I like about preaching through an entire book of the Bible is that you have a chance to see how a particular text from that book of the Bible fits in with the message of the entire book. For example, today's gospel reading is taken from the sections of Luke, chapters 13 and 14. And both of these sections reveal how the Sabbath day was being kept religiously by the Jewish leaders, but they in turn became very upset with Jesus because he healed people on the Sabbath. In fact, in Luke chapter 13, we learn about the second time that Jesus performs a healing miracle on the Sabbath. And in Luke chapter 14, we learn about the third time that Jesus performs a healing miracle on the Sabbath. But what about the first time? What about the first time Jesus performed a healing miracle on the Sabbath? Well, you had a chance to hear about that on Sunday, April 29th, 2012, when I preached on Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. In fact, in order for you to understand what's going on in today's gospel reading from Luke chapters 13 and 14, it would be good to give a brief summary of that sermon I preached on Luke chapter 6 back in April. Now, you've already heard that reading from Luke chapter 6 earlier, so let me make the following comments on it. Please keep focused so you can understand where I'm going with this. One day, according to Luke chapter 6, Jesus and his disciples were walking to another town to preach the gospel. And along the way, they were walking through a grain field. The disciples were hungry. And so Jesus gave them permission to pick some heads of grain and chew on them to curb their hunger. Well, some pious Jews in the area see this behavior and they're absolutely shocked. You see, Jesus and his disciples are breaking the third commandment, or so it seems. You see, according to the Jewish tradition of that day, Jesus and his disciples were doing work. Now, you might wonder, what's the problem? What's wrong with doing work on the Sabbath? Well, if you read the third commandment as found in Exodus chapter 20, you will see that God commanded his Old Testament people to refrain from physical work on the Sabbath, which, by the way, is the seventh day, Saturday. Now, you might wonder, why did God command his Old Testament people to refrain from physical work on the Sabbath? Well, we'll talk about that in a bit. For now, let's talk about why the Jews of Jesus' day were shocked by Jesus' behavior on the Sabbath. First of all, Jesus and his disciples were walking farther than was allowed on the Sabbath. According to Jewish tradition, you could walk only a certain distance on the Sabbath. After that, you were performing work. And Jesus and his disciples were way beyond the allowed distance. Secondly, they were picking heads of grain. That also qualified as work. And so the pious Jews asked Jesus why he allowed his disciples to break the third commandment. I mean, if Jesus were really the Messiah, would he be allowing his disciples to break the third commandment? Now, in one sense, they had a point. We should never, ever willingly do as we please and deliberately rebel against God's will. That is a horrible sin. These Jews knew the scripture from Exodus chapter 20. They knew God had clearly told his Old Testament people to refrain from physical work on the Sabbath. So, in a sense, they had a point. In fact, they were probably thinking, who does Jesus think he is anyway? But that's just the point, you see. Jesus goes on to say that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus is the one who gave the Sabbath law, and now he has come to fulfill it. So Jesus actually gave his disciples permission to work. They could pick grain and walk as far as they were walking because Jesus is God and he gave them permission. In fact, Jesus gives an example of this from the Old Testament. On one occasion, God gave King David permission to eat the temple bread that was meant only for the priests. David and his men ate this bread, not because they were recklessly rebelling against God's will. No, they ate the bread because God told them they could. So what's Jesus' point? Simply put, even though God did tell his Old Testament people that they should not work on the Sabbath, Jesus, who is Lord of the Sabbath, is now giving his disciples permission to work. In other words, Jesus is claiming to be much more than a mere prophet. He is claiming to be God himself, God in human flesh. That makes all the difference in the world. Well, now this leads to the question I asked earlier. Why did God tell his Old Testament people to refrain from physical work on the Sabbath? Well, if you want to understand that, you need to see the bigger picture. We need to go back to the first two chapters of Genesis to answer that question appropriately. As you recall, God finished his work of creation at the end of what day? The sixth day. The next day, the seventh day, God rested from his work. However, please understand, God rested from his work not because he was tired. God doesn't get tired. He rested from his work because he was finished. The world was perfect. All that God had created was very good. And you know what? From that point on, God's plan was that Adam and Eve and all their descendants, we were meant to live in his love and rest in his wisdom for all eternity. In other words, every moment of every day was meant to be a Sabbath. That Sabbath word means rest. Every moment of every day was meant to be a Sabbath. Resting in God's love and wisdom for all eternity. Of course, all that was lost when the devil tempted Adam and Eve to rest in their own self-love and to rest in their own twisted wisdom and their own limited work instead of trusting God and resting in him. And that's just what they did, sadly. Ever since that tragic moment, we humans have had no true rest. Because our only true rest is found in a love relationship with God. But you know what? Such a love relationship with God is impossible if we do not love God and if we refuse to trust his word. You know what that means? Every time we sin, we show that we don't love God. Every time we sin, we show that we are rejecting God's Sabbath rest. So unless God does something to save us from our sinful rebellion against him, we're doomed to live forever without God's Sabbath. Now for the good news. The good news is that God did do something to bring us back to that blessed Sabbath that we were meant to enjoy for all eternity. Right after Adam and Eve rejected him, God put into motion a plan. A plan to rescue us from our restless lives of sin so that we might enjoy his Sabbath once again, resting in his love and wisdom for all eternity. God's plan to save us is fulfilled in the work of his Son for us. That's right, the whole Old Testament is really about Jesus and the rest that he will give us. But here's what you need to understand. Before God's Son came into the world, God gave his Old Testament people many pictures of Jesus and his work for us. We heard about this in our reading from Colossians. Paul referred to various Jewish rituals, including the Sabbath day. And he points out how all these things were pictures of Jesus, who is ultimately the reality that the Sabbath day points to. And so one of those pictures was the Old Testament Sabbath rest ritual. And now, with all that background information, we're finally ready to answer the question, why? Why did God tell His Old Testament people to refrain from physical work on the Sabbath? Well, part of the reason was, in His mercy, He was giving them a chance just to rest from their physical work. But that really is the minor reason God told them to refrain from physical work on the Sabbath. The bigger reason is that resting from physical work on the Sabbath was a sign. It was a sign to them that they needed to constantly rely on God's work for them. By resting from their physical work on the seventh day, and by focusing on God and all that He does for us, that was a sign to them that we need to rely on God and all that He does for us, rather than relying on ourselves. But there's yet another reason that God told them to rest from their physical work on the seventh day specifically. By resting from their physical work on the seventh day, they were performing a ritual sign, a ritual picture, you might say. A picture of what? A picture of Jesus' rest in the tomb on the seventh day. Keep with me here. I want you to think about this. When did God finish His work of creation? At the end of the sixth day. And then we're told that God rested on the seventh day. Why? Because He was finished with His work of creation, right? Right. But now, jump ahead in time. When did God's Son finish His work of saving us? At the end of the sixth day. We call it Good Friday. At the end of the sixth day, what did Jesus say? It is finished. What happened after that? Jesus rested from His work. He was in the tomb the entire Sabbath, the whole seventh day. And then finally, on the first day of the week, Sunday, He rose from the dead. And now, because of His completed work for us, we can have God's Sabbath rest every moment of every day. So now, do you see how all this applies to us? Through faith in Jesus, we are living in God's Sabbath once again. In other words, we're new creations in Christ. Jesus died in our place of punishment, and by His resurrection, He conquered death for us. So because of Jesus, we get to live every moment of every day, resting in God's love and wisdom, just as He intended for us in the beginning. So with that understood, how do we remember the Sabbath day as Christians? How do we remember the Sabbath day now that Jesus has finished His work for us? Well, my friends, the point of the third commandment for us Christians today is that Jesus is our eternal Sabbath rest. In other words, the Sabbath was never really about a day, per se. The Sabbath is actually about a person, the Son of God, the Lord of the Sabbath. And so, we Christians do not keep the third commandment by refraining from physical work on the seventh day, or the first day, or any day. You see, the Old Testament ritual, that was simply a picture of Christ's rest in the tomb on the seventh day. But now that Jesus has finished His work, He wants us to remember the Sabbath day. How? By resting in His love, by resting in His wisdom, by trusting in His word every moment of every day. In fact, this explains why Martin Luther gave the explanation that he did of the third commandment in his small catechism. Do you remember Luther's explanation of the third commandment from the small catechism? I'll say it. You can say it with me if you remember it. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Now, what's very interesting is what Luther doesn't mention. He doesn't mention Sunday. He doesn't mention Saturday. He doesn't mention any particular day. Nor does Luther say anything about refraining from physical work. What does he say? He says that we should not despise God's word. Instead, we should gladly hear and learn it. What was the essence of the temptation that the devil gave to Adam and Eve? It was this. Don't rest in God's word. Don't trust what he says to you. Despise his word. Define good and evil for yourselves. And so the essence of the Sabbath is to repent of our own self-worship, to repent of our own trust in our own works, and instead to trust in God's word, to trust in his work. And so the point of the third commandment for us Christians today is that we get to trust in God's word every moment of every day. We remember the Sabbath day not only by coming to church or going to Bible classes on Sunday or during the week, but we remember the Sabbath day by trusting in Jesus and meditating on his word every moment of every day. That's what the third commandment is ultimately about. Now, with that said, let's get back to our readings. In our second reading from Luke chapter 6, we're told about the first time that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. Not only is Jesus showing that he's God and he can do what he wants, but by healing on the Sabbath, he's showing that God's ultimate desire is to bring us healing. Not just healing from our physical problems. You see, our physical problems are just a symptom of our real problem. We are sinners. We have sickness and death in this world because we're sinners. Sickness and death is God's sign to us that something's wrong. And what's wrong is our sin against God. But when Jesus comes to heal on the Sabbath, he's showing that he has come to this world to work on our behalf. So in Luke chapter 6, we see the first time that Jesus heals on the Sabbath, showing that he is God come to save his people. And now we're ready to examine today's gospel reading from Luke chapters 13 and 14. And there we find about the second and third times Jesus heals people on the Sabbath. You know, it's almost like Jesus is trying to make a point or something. This is the third time now he deliberately and intentionally heals somebody on the Sabbath. It's like he's trying to get through to these people. Why? Because sadly, the Jews of Jesus' day had turned the Sabbath rest ritual into a legalistic work. They had turned it into a work whereby they tried to impress God and earn his blessings by obeying his command to refrain from physical work on the seventh day. Now, there's nothing wrong with obeying God, but the problem is that they were missing the whole point of the Sabbath rest ritual. The Sabbath was meant to be a picture of Jesus and the rest that only he can give us. The Sabbath rest ritual was meant to remind them that they had to rely on God's work for them. But instead, they were focused on their own obedience. In today's gospel reading, Jesus heals two people. Each time he does this on the Sabbath. These miracles show us that Jesus is God and that he has come to deliver us from sin and the power of the devil. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. But do you know what the devil wants? The devil wants us to continue to rest in our own works. The devil wants you to rest in your own legalistic attempts to impress God with your acts of obedience. You see, if the devil can't tempt you to be a rebellious, unrepentant sinner, then he will tempt you to be a legalistic, self-righteous Pharisee. In fact, if we think we can impress God with our obedience, then we're guilty of the sin of pride. For example, I'd like you to look on the back of your bulletin cover where the sermon notes are. Hopefully you're already using that. But I want you to look at the cartoon I printed there. I actually got this cartoon from the March 5th edition of the Jamestown Sun, but when I saw it, I thought, I've got to use this. This cartoon shows us that we can obey God for all the wrong reasons. If we think that we can impress God by obeying his laws, then we're guilty of the sin of pride. You see, the Jews of Jesus' day thought that God would bless them. Why? Because they were obedient. That's right, they were faithfully obeying the third commandment by refraining from physical work, and they were proud. Oh, they were proud of their faithful obedience of the Sabbath law. Sadly, their sinful pride kept them from seeing that the Sabbath rest ritual was actually about their need for Jesus. Their sinful pride kept them from seeing that Jesus was their Sabbath rest. But you know what can happen to us too? If we are not tempted to be rebellious sinners, then the devil tempts us to be self-righteous Pharisees. That happens when we think that God's impressed with us because we do our best to obey His laws, and we're certainly better than other people we know. It can happen so easy. You know, yesterday I was out getting some groceries, and I had to be real careful as drunk individuals stumbled across the street during the running of the green. But you know what's really easy to do when you see scenes like that? What's really easy is to say, you know, I'm not as bad as those people. No wonder God's impressed with me. I'm not a drunk like that. That's how the devil tries to get us. If he can't get us to be a rebellious sinner doing whatever we please, then he'll try to tempt us to be a self-righteous Pharisee, making us proud of our own obedience of God's laws. We can even do that to church attendance, can't we? You know, we keep track of how often we come to church, and we think, you know, God's got to be impressed with us. I mean, we're not like other people who haven't been to church in 10, 20 years. We come here regularly. Why wouldn't God be impressed with us? And without realizing it, we become just like the Pharisees in our gospel reading. You see, my friends, we need to repent of our sinful pride. We need to repent of resting in our own works rather than in Jesus, our Sabbath rest. You see, the good news is that the third commandment is about Jesus. That's why Luther explains the third commandment by saying that we should hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. But why? Why do we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it? Because it gives us a bunch of rules that we can obey and thereby impress God? No. The reason we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it is that from Genesis to the book of Revelation, it's all about Jesus. That's why we hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. It's about Jesus, who is our Sabbath rest. Now, don't get me wrong. I know God's word also teaches us how to live. It shows us the sins that we should not do. It also shows us the good things that God wants us to do. And we should obey God. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But you see, our motivation for obeying God as Christians comes from the fact that Jesus has already done it all for us. Our motivation for saying no to sin and yes for God's will is the fact that even though we're sinners who deserve nothing but hell, God loved us enough to damn His own Son in our place, that through Him we might be forgiven and be brought back into God's rest for all eternity. And so, yes, we do strive to obey God, not in order to impress Him, but in order to praise Him and to thank Him for the rest that He's given us in Jesus. In closing, if there's one thing I want you to take with you today, it's this. The essential message for you from today's gospel reading is, Jesus is your Sabbath rest. He wants you to rest in His love and wisdom every moment of every day. You see, the reason you come to church on Sunday is not to give God a token hour of your time and thereby impress Him. No, the reason you come to church on Sunday is that you rest in Jesus every moment of every day. And so it's just natural for you to come here to hear His word from the pastor He's given you to serve you. But of course, it's not just Sunday that you rest in Jesus. You rest in Him every moment of every day by trusting in Him and resting in His grace and by His love, striving to honor Him with your lives. I'd like to close by reading the very last stanza of our sermon hymn. If you want to look at hymn 906, this final stanza really sums up the point of today's message. Referring to the light of God's word, it says, "That light our hope sustaining, we walk the pilgrim way, at length our rest attaining, our endless Sabbath day. We sing to thee our praises, O Father, Spirit, Son. The church her voice upraises to thee, blessed three in one." So the third commandment is really about resting in the one true God every moment of every day. Resting in the one true God who created you and saved you and wants to love you for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.